Chapter 3. The Nebraska State and Local Sales and Use Taxes. By John F. Dew and Loretta Fairchild. Introduction. The sales tax structure in Nebraska consists of three distinct elements: the retail sales tax, applying to retail sales in the state; the retailer's use tax, applying to out-of-state retailers that make taxable sales in the state; and the consumer's use tax, which applies to purchases of taxable goods upon which the sales tax has not been paid. The tax is administered by the Department of Revenue, except the portion on motor vehicles, which is paid directly to the county treasurer. The portion on motor vehicles constituted 10.7% of total sales use tax collections. In 1986, the consumer use tax constituted 1.7%. The tax was established by the Nebraska State Legislature, effective June 1, 1967, and one of the last three state sales taxes to be enacted. The last was that of Vermont, 1968. From 1968 through 1983, the sales tax rate was determined annually by the State Board of Equalization and Assessment on the basis of revenue requirements. Since 1984, the legislature has set the rate. The most significant change made in the tax in the 20 years of its operation was the exemption of food and elimination of the credit against income tax for sales tax paid on food, effective October 1, 1983. The Local Option Revenue Act, enacted in 1969, authorized cities to impose sales taxes under prescribed conditions. The tax applies to sales of tangible personal property, and thus real property and intangibles are free of tax, as well as services, except public utilities, transient accommodations, and admissions, cable TV, computer software, laundry service, and fabrication labor. This chapter is concerned with structural features of the tax. Operational aspects are covered in a later chapter by Loretta Fairchild and John F. Dew. Characteristics. Various major characteristics of the tax are comparable to those of most other state sales taxes, and can be summarized briefly. 1. The tax is technically imposed upon the sales transaction, that is, upon gross receipts from sales, leases, or rentals of tangible personal property at retail. 2. All firms making sales at retail must obtain a registration permit, for which a $10 non-recurrent charge is made for each place of business. The Department of Revenue may revoke or suspend a permit for violation of the Act. 3. Retail sales are defined as sales for use or consumption, and not for resale. 4. Taxable gross receipts do not include charges for installing or servicing. If separately billed, cash discounts taken, trade-in allowances, when the articles traded in are sold by the vendor in the regular course of business, the value of returned merchandise, for which credit is given the customer, finance and carrying charges, transportation charges beyond the point of sale, when the carrier is paid by the customer. Delivery charges paid by the customer to the retailer are taxable even if separately billed. 5. Either cash or accrual methods of accounting for tax purposes may be used. With the accrual method, firms may elect to delay payment of tax on installment and related sales under certain conditions. 6. Bad debts are deductible if the firm is reporting on an accrual basis. 7. A bracket system is provided for collection, but the amount of tax payable by the vendor is determined by applying the tax rate to the figure of taxable sale. 8. On non-retail sales, vendors must obtain resale certificates as evidence that the sale is made for resale. If such a certificate is taken in good faith, the vendor is not liable for tax if the goods purchased are used for taxable purposes. 9. Rental of tangible personal property is subject to tax. A firm purchasing items for the exclusive purpose of renting may purchase tax-free. Incidental rentals of goods purchased on a taxable basis are subject to tax. 10. Occasional sales, those by persons not engaged in the business of selling such property, are not subject to tax. These include garage sales, if held not more than 3 days during a calendar year. 11. Vendors are required to pass on to the customer the full amount of the tax, they may not advertise that they are absorbing tax, and they must quote a tax as a separate item unless authorized by the commissioner to do otherwise. 12. Credit is allowed for sales tax due and paid another state. Questions relating to exemptions are considered in a subsequent section. Revenues. Table 3.1 shows the revenues from the sales and use taxes, including the portion on motor vehicles, over the years from the time of introduction. The revenue has been relatively constant as a percent of total tax revenue, as shown by U.S. Bureau of the Census publications, ranging between 28.7 and 36.1%, with no noticeable trend in the years 1968 to 1985. The constancy resulted in part because under the original sales tax legislation, the State Board of Equalization and Assessment was required to adjust sales and income tax rates annually to maintain the same revenue from each tax. These figures are also very similar to the national average of relative dependence on the sales tax as a source of tax revenue, which has ranged between 29 and 33% of state tax revenue. In 16 of the 19 years, Nebraska's relative reliance was greater than the national average, but only slightly so. In 1986, Nebraska ranked 40th among the 45 sales tax states in per capita sales tax collections, with a figure of $219 compared to a national average of $311 and highs of over $500 in four states: Hawaii, Washington, Nevada, and Connecticut. Nebraska ranked 41st of the 45 sales tax states in state and local sales tax collections expressed as a percentage of personal income. The Nebraska percentage was 1.99 compared to a national average of 2.79. The sales tax rate. Between the introduction of the tax in 1967 and 1984, the rate of the tax was set each year by the State Board of Equalization and Assessment within the range specified by law and on the basis of revenue needs, so the rate changes were more frequent than in most states. In 1984, the legislature took back the power to set rates. The pattern of rates is shown in Table 3.2. The pattern of rates in other states. The general level of state and local sales tax rates has been rising slowly and steadily from the initial 2% rates to state rates that are typically 4 or 5%, and combined state and local rates between 5 and 7% in most states. The highest combined state and local rates percentages currently are in Louisiana and Oklahoma, 9 in some cities. New York City and parts of Tennessee, 8.25 state and local, parts of Arizona and Illinois, 8. The highest state rate is in Connecticut, 7.5. The range of rates is shown in Table 3.3, July 1, 1987, and the details of rates in Table 3.4. The Nebraska rate is slightly lower than the typical figure. Of the neighboring states, Iowa has a 4% figure, with 1% local taxes, in some areas, including Sioux City, but not Council Bluffs or Des Moines. Kansas has a 4% state, and a 5-6.5% combined state and local rate. In Colorado, the state rate is 3% with a 7.1% maximum combined state and local. South Dakota has a 5% state rate, and a 7% state and local maximum. Wyoming has a 3% state rate and a 4% combined maximum. For most of Nebraska, the Wyoming and Colorado rates are not significant because little Nebraska population is located close to these states. The Iowa and Kansas rates, slightly lower than Nebraska's, are the most significant. Table 3A1 shows the Iowa local sales taxes. The taxation of purchases for business and farm use. Sales taxes in the United States differ substantially in coverage from what may be regarded as optimal in terms of the philosophy of sales tax. In principle, a sales tax is designed to distribute the costs of government in relation to consumption expenditure rather than income or property. If this principle is to be attained, the tax should apply only to purchases for individual household consumption purposes. But in fact, the Nebraska tax, like that of almost all states, applies to a substantial number of purchases for business rather than consumption use. When the taxes were established, they were applied to sales for use or consumption, and not for resale. The term sale for resale was interpreted to include sales of materials and parts becoming physical ingredients of commodities produced, the physical ingredient rule, but not to include other purchases for business use, which were interpreted to be retail sales. Thus, a substantial portion of the total sales tax burden rests directly upon purchases by businesses, which has presumably, as with other business expenses, shifted forward to the final consumers. There were several reasons for the failure to confine the taxes to consumer purchases. The early sales tax were developed quickly in the desperate search for revenue in the worst days of the Depression of the 1930s. They were outgrowths of low-rate gross receipts taxes. Little thought was given to either the philosophy of sales taxes or the exact coverage of the taxes being introduced. Considerable surprise was expressed in some states when a tax was found to apply to industrial machinery, for example. To the extent that attention was given to the appropriate coverage of the tax, the difficulties for retailers and state revenue departments of distinguishing between purchases for consumption and business use were recognized and stressed by tax administrators, who found the physical ingredient rule workable if illogical. The states that did consider removing the tax from at least major classes of business purchases, this change encountered substantial popular opposition. The change appeared to transfer tax burden to individuals from business, and taxing business always has political appeal, even though it may be illogical, and in this instance may create undesirable consequences. Objections to taxing business and farm purchases. There are several major objections to applying the sales tax to purchases for business and farm use. First, taxes resting on business purchases, like other businesses' expenses, are likely in time to be passed forward to final consumers unless prevented by competition from firms in other states, but in a haphazard and unplanned fashion relative to consumer expenditures on various goods, since the ratios of taxable purchases to final sales prices will vary widely. Taxes on farm purchases cannot easily be shifted, given the nature of farm product markets, and are likely to rest on farmers, at least for a period of time. Secondly, and perhaps most seriously, taxing business purchases places Nebraska firms, particularly manufacturers, at a competitive disadvantage compared to those in states or in countries that have made strong efforts to exclude business purchases from tax. The European countries have confined the burden of their sales taxes, which take the value-added tax form, to sales to final consumers. The states east of Nebraska exempt major classes of business purchases, as noted below. Thirdly, taxation of business purchases encourages firms to produce the goods themselves, or, in the case of services, to provide the services with their own employees, rather than acquiring them from other firms and paying tax on their acquisition. By producing the commodities, the firms will pay tax only on the materials, not on the labor costs involved in production. Finally, choice of methods of production will be altered from the most efficient ones, since some are likely to be subject to more tax per unit of final output than are others. The present situation in Nebraska. As the Nebraska tax operates, as of July 1987, the tax includes a considerable range of purchases for business and farm use, industrial and farm machinery and equipment, except industrial machinery and equipment, and some other items acquired by firms under the incentives legislation of 1987. Supplies used in agriculture, except farm feed, seed, fertilizer, and chemicals. For example, fencing. Building materials, hand tools, light bulbs, cleaning supplies, etc., are taxable. Commercial equipment and supplies. Office supplies and equipment. Electricity, except that used in manufacturing. Processing. Refining. Irrigation or farming. Fuel, motor fuel is not subject to the sales tax, but to the motor fuel tax. Consumables. Goods consumed in the production process, but that don't become physical ingredients. Building materials. The full contract price on construction is not taxed, but tax applies to the materials purchased by the contractor. There are exceptions for firms subject to the 1987 incentives legislation. Motor vehicles acquired by business firms and farmers, except by common or contract carriers. It is impossible to determine precisely the percentage of taxable sales that consists of sales to business firms, but it is not negligible. Earlier estimates in states in which food was taxable concluded that 20 to 25% of taxable sales were made to business firms. A study in Texas, in which food is exempt, concluded that the figure might be as high as 50%. A study by the Advisory Commission on Intergovernmental Relations in 1982 showed a national average of 37% and a figure for Nebraska of 19% with food taxable at the time. Now that food is exempt, the current figure is likely to be around 25%. Industrial machinery and equipment. As noted, when the sales tax were first introduced in the 1930s, the taxes excluded only sales for resale, including sales of materials and parts becoming physical ingredients of the products. In agriculture, this would include livestock, livestock feed, seed, and fertilizer. Prior to 1940, the only exceptions were Michigan, Ohio, and West Virginia, all of which are states with substantial heavy industry and broader exclusions of business purchases. In the post-World War II period, however, as additional states introduced the tax, most excluded industrial machinery and equipment used directly in the production process, and several states exempted industrial machinery from their existing taxes. In the South, the tendency was to apply a lower tax rate to these categories. There has been a definite domino effect in the Midwest. Exemption in Indiana and Wisconsin led to exemption in Illinois, which in turn led to exemption in Iowa in 1985. Iowa provided for refunds of tax paid on industrial machinery. As of July 1, 1987, sales of machinery are exempt. Nebraska exempted the sales of machinery and equipment for new and expanded industry in order to encourage industrial growth. In May 1987, this provision was repealed and replaced by new legislation designed to provide greater incentive for industrial expansion, effective 4 years beginning on or after January 1, 1987. The basic legislation is LB 775, with three key provisions. 1. A firm spending $20 million or more on depreciable property for business expansion, with its application approved by the State Revenue Department, is entitled to a refund of sales tax on the purchase of taxable property involved. This covers not only manufacturing, but most all activities except retailing, warehousing, financial activities, and agriculture. Credit under the exemption can be earned over a 7-year period and used over a 15-year period. 2. Firms investing $3 million or more and creating at least 13 new jobs receive a refund of sales tax on purchases, plus a 10% tax credit on plant and equipment purchases, and 5% job credit, which can be used against sales or income tax liability. 3. Firms investing $10 million or more and creating 100 or more new jobs receive a personal property tax exemption for computers and peripheral components, but not other equipment, corporate, jets, and agricultural processing equipment, and with the same credits as number 2 above. A separate law, LB 270, provides for smaller firms other than retailing. If a firm increases investment by $100,000 or more in 1 year and creates 2 or more new jobs, it receives a tax credit of $1,000 per $100,000 of investment, which can be used against income tax liability, up to one half of the tax liability, and against sales tax liability. Thus, the incentives legislation has altered the approach to taxation of industrial machinery and equipment, broadening the scope somewhat, but providing no exclusion from tax for firms that are merely replacing equipment and are not expanding. From a sales tax standpoint, many Nebraska firms purchasing equipment are still at a disadvantage compared with those in neighboring states, except when they are expanding sufficiently to be able to take advantage of the incentives legislation. The situation in the surrounding states is, in brief, as follows. Iowa, exemption of industrial machinery and equipment used directly in manufacturing. plus computers. Colorado, machinery and equipment used directly in manufacturing. If purchase exceeds $1,000, exemption not to exceed $500,000 for a firm in any 1 year. Kansas, there is no general exemption of industrial machinery and equipment from the state sales and use tax. The local sales taxes, however, do not apply to these items except in 10 jurisdictions that impose the tax prior to 1978. There are three situations in which the state tax does not apply. 1. Industry financed by industrial revenue bonds. 2. New industry in enterprise zones. Once approved by the Department of Commerce, the firms can obtain refund of sales tax paid on purchases for the establishment or expansion of their facilities. Wichita and other cities make extensive use of this provision. This includes building materials as well as machinery and equipment. 3. Incentives legislation. Firms making a minimum expenditure of $50,000 and creating at least 2 jobs for each $50,000 of investment can obtain a refund of sales tax paid on production equipment. Extensive use is also made of this provision. On both 2 and 3, refund includes state and local tax, if the latter has been paid. Missouri, exemption of industrial machinery is limited to 2 categories. 1. Machinery and equipment used directly in manufacturing in new or expanded industries. 2. Machinery and equipment resulting from change in product or design of equipment. Equipment merely replacing existing equipment, including that replaced because of obsolescence, is not exempt. These provisions cause serious interpretative and audit complications. Wyoming and South Dakota, no exemption of industrial machinery. An estimate made before the 1987 incentives legislation concluded that the revenue loss in Nebraska from general exemption of industrial machinery and equipment, that is, machinery and equipment used directly in manufacturing, would be about $14 million, or about 4% of total tax revenue. This figure, however, is far too high in the present situation. It was based on matching rather broadly Iowa's exemption. In addition, the 1987 legislation has already reduced the taxation of the equipment. The loss thus is probably less than half of $14 million. The nationwide general treatment of industrial machinery and equipment, as of July 1, 1987, is as follows: fully taxable, Western and Southwestern states, Hawaii, California, Washington, Nevada, Utah, Wyoming, North Dakota, South Dakota, Texas, Kansas, refund of tax, as noted, Minnesota, taxed at lower rate, all in the South, Alabama, Mississippi, North Carolina, exemption for new and expanding industry, primarily in the South, Arkansas, Florida, Georgia, Kentucky, Louisiana, Missouri, including replacement equipment, New Mexico, Nebraska, under incentives legislation. Fully exempt, primarily in the East and Midwest, Connecticut, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Maine, Maryland, Massachusetts, Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Rhode Island, South Carolina, Tennessee, Vermont, Virginia, West Virginia, Wisconsin, Western states, Arizona, Colorado, Idaho, Oklahoma. The issue of possible loss of equipment sales to out-of-state suppliers is considered in a subsequent section. Farm supplies, machinery, and equipment. In Nebraska, following the pattern set by a number of states, farm feed, seed, fertilizer, and livestock are exempt from tax. But thus far, other farm purchases, including farm machinery and equipment, are subject to tax. Given the nature of farm product markets and the depressed condition of farm product prices, any burden on farm purchases essentially rests on the farm. The treatment of farm machinery and equipment in the neighboring states is as follows: Iowa, farm machinery and equipment are exempt. Kansas, local sales taxes do not apply except in the 10 local jurisdictions imposing the tax before 1978. All new farm machinery and equipment are subject to the state tax. Used farm equipment and machinery purchased by farmers are exempt. Missouri, farm machinery and equipment used directly and exclusively in farming are exempt. South Dakota, farm and irrigation machinery and equipment are taxed at a lower 3% rate than the basic state rate. Colorado and Wyoming. No exemption provided. Nationwide treatment resembles the treatment of industrial machinery and equipment, but there are differences. 12 states exempt machinery and equipment used in agriculture: Indiana, Iowa, Ohio, Vermont, Kentucky, Maryland, Missouri, Oklahoma, Texas, Arkansas, Illinois, Wisconsin, except for Vermont. All are located in the Midwest and Southwest. Two additional states, Georgia and Maine, have similar exemptions. 10 states, primarily in the East, exempt not only farm machinery and equipment, but a broader scope of tools and other farm items: Connecticut, Massachusetts, Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Pennsylvania, Virginia, West Virginia, plus Utah and Idaho. Thus, about half of the sales tax states exempt at least major categories of farm equipment. Several southern states, Alabama, Florida, Mississippi, North Carolina, plus Minnesota, and the two Dakotas, tax farm machinery and equipment at reduced rates. New Mexico taxes half the sale price, Louisiana only the portion of the price in excess of $50,000 per item. The remaining states fully tax agricultural equipment, but exemption has been discussed in a number of them. The problem facing Nebraska, with Missouri and now Iowa exempting farm machinery and Kansas exempting used farm machinery, is that there will be increased loss of business to out-of-state dealers unless exemption is provided. Given the nature of farm product markets, the case for exemption is strengthened by the impossibility for farmers to shift the tax forward to final consumers. In 1985, the Revenue Department estimated the revenue loss from exemption of farm equipment to be about $16 million. Estimates made early in 1987 show a revenue loss between $6.5 million and $11.5 million. A bill to exempt replacement parts for farm machinery and equipment was passed by the legislature in May 1987, but was vetoed by the governor. Sales to common and contract carriers. Nebraska provides a broad exemption of purchases of motor vehicles by all common and contract motor carriers, as well as equipment by railroads and airlines. The state have found it impossible to tax railroad rolling stock since the carriers immediately place it in interstate commerce. The state can tax vehicles bought by intrastate motor carriers and by interstate motor carriers registered in Nebraska, although few states seek to follow this latter rule. The net result now is that common and contract carrier operators pay no tax on their equipment, whereas private carriers, truck operations by firms hauling their own goods, including farmers, do pay tax, although reportedly many firms avoid tax by incorporating their truck operations as a separate contract carrier firm. If a serious effort were made to exclude all purchases for business use from the tax, general exclusion of trucks other than pickups widely used for consumption purposes would be justified. Exclusion of only one set of trucks may be difficult to justify, but it appears to be imperative, since large firms could avoid the tax more easily than small firms, and larger trucking firms might move their headquarters and servicing operations out of the state.